I want to talk from the thought, fresh oil for a new season. And I want to focus in on three verses from the text that was already read. And I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. We're in 1 Samuel 16. Whole text is 6 through 13, but I want to focus on verses 11 through 13. And I just want you to take this in, because it's significant. Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?"
Watch out now.
And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Fresh oil for a new season. How can I begin? What's your favorite season of the year? In the midst of all that, I did not hear winter. Everybody has a particular season they look forward to. Some people love winter because they can be like bears and hibernate. Something about the chill and even in some instances snowy conditions causes people to feel more at home.
Yeah.
Right next to a fire or whatever, and they feel closer to each other. Some people like spring, because when spring actually does happen, warms up a little more, flowers begin to bloom, newness is seen, and you know, it's not too bad. You deal with some of the rain, but then it just feels different. And here comes summer. Summer, people can travel and go to the beach and be near the water and all that good stuff. Thank God I'm going to be near some water in about less than 4 weeks. I enjoy the summer, not just because my anniversary's in the summer, but my birthday's in the summer. Everything important to me happens in the summer, so I enjoy it. That's why I'm so sad that it's almost gone. Fall comes around for people, and it's starting to cool down, but for some people it's football season. It's the high time to enjoy all types of sports. Go out to high school football games and talk garbage to each other, even though we've been about 20 or 30 years removed from high school. Did I have to expose it? If nobody else heard it, I heard it. But it's something about the fall. It's the changing of times. It's the colors of the leaves. It's all those things. Seasons are always going to happen, always going to come. And just like regular seasons, they're seasons of life. When you're young, you're fearless. When you get a little older, you're fearless, but now you're making more calculated decisions.
Get a little
further down the line, you want to be a little more settled and now enjoy the vast part of your life. And then once you reach a certain point, you want to be able to say to yourself that all I need to do is look back about how far I've been and enjoy all that has come forward. Seasons. Seasons come and go, but we don't always carry what we need from season to season. For you see that even in the realm of the spirituality, as you grow in Christ, as you grow in God, as your relationship develops, as you become more aware of who you are in God through your personality, through your spirituality, through your relationship. Some things do change.
Amen.
Some things have to change. Some things require different methods and different opportunities. So now we're in a phase at this point in life where we're dealing with a new season at Wesley Church of Hope. You now have a 6'2" black man who is weighing whatever he weighed when he played offensive line, trying to encourage you to look at something just a little bit differently. I'm not like any other pastor that's ever come. No matter what anybody says, they'll try to pick it down the line, because we're only a month, and we're not even a month into this, but down the line, people will be like, well, this reminds me of this, this reminds me of that, and that may be cool, but understand that I have a different oil for this season. And I'm using myself as an example because I can be a case study in what it means to go from season to season in ministry. I look back at the first pastorate I had at a church where I was with 11 folk that decided they had to make a choice between closing down the church and keeping everything going. They decided, after a committee meeting and after a whole bunch of different preachers came through and all kind of stuff, they decided to deal with a 20-something-year-old preacher. All right. And they said, well, maybe, just maybe, if he sticks around long enough, we'll be better.
Amen.
And just like any other situation, there's growing pains.
Yes, sir. Yes.
There are moments when they look at you crazy because you just say, I really believe that God is really who he says he is, you know? I really believe that we will never be just 11 folk ever again. And we can't do it the same old way. We got to do something different. And even in the midst of people looking at me crazy and only a few people actually trusting the God in me, suddenly 11 turned into 75. A church that turned inside ended up going outside the walls. And now that same church with its current pastor has not only grown beyond expectation, but is now more viable than it's ever been in the city of Circleville. And I thank God that in my season,
yes, sir,
I was able to do what needed to be done with the oil God gave me.
Amen.
So you have to understand that when we come into transitional moments, we cannot settle for just going back to the good old days. We cannot just settle for the same old blueprint. We cannot settle for just saying to ourselves, well, it worked 20 years ago. Why can't we do it this way now? And the reality is, the reason we can't do it is because God has called us into a different season.
Yes.
Even when some of the good old days were just that good, yes, you got to think about what those days were really like. Because sometimes we romanticize the past as if it was really that good. But the truth is, everything wasn't that good. I mean, people talk about the 70s and all that kind of stuff. The music was great. But if you look back at some of the fashion choices, come on up a little bit. Everybody, I was a child of the 80s. I was born in the 80s, but everybody wasn't looking a certain way. Every song wasn't great. Everything going on at that time wasn't great. You had to deal with Reaganomics and all kind of other stuff. Everything wasn't great.
Right.
We romanticize a lot of things in the past because we get anxious about the possibility of what the future might require. Yeah, I'm not going to, it seems like I'm not going to sweat today. So let me help you. The future's bright.
Yes.
As long as we get some fresh oil. The future is huge as long as we get some fresh oil. The future is bigger than anything any of us have ever seen. As long as we get fresh oil. Now, let me explain it through the text. Now, when you look at the text, some people have read this particular story before about how David was chosen to be the next king. But you need to back up. Don't just stick with the text. Back up, get context. Context is this. You had a king on the throne already.
Yes.
Saul.
Yes.
Saul was acting a fool.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll just keep it simple. Saul was acting crazy. He lost his mind. He, even though he was chosen by God initially, yes, he was. He was chosen by God when he was lost trying to find his father's donkeys, and all of a sudden he ran into Samuel, and Samuel and God had a conversation, said, basically, this guy that's lost right now, this is the one I've chosen, so make sure that you catch up with him, and I'm going to intervene to make sure that he catches up with you. They caught up with each other, and then all of a sudden, Saul was anointed to be king. He was anointed with a little drop, with a touch. I'm going somewhere with that. Just keep that in the back of your head. He was anointed with a touch, and he was able to then speak with the prophets, and he was able to speak with a different language. He was able to do all kinds of stuff. He finally ascends to the throne. He gets the crown. He gets all the money. He gets all the stuff, and somewhere along the line, he forgot. Forgot who employed him to begin with. He forgot that God chose him when he was not the first choice. He chose him because he had stature that people might agree with. He chose him because maybe, just maybe, this was going to work for the people. Since the people clamored for it. We want a king like everybody else. So he chose this guy, and he said, okay, I'm going to put my hand on him, and we'll keep it moving. Saul then started consulting witches and consulting people that didn't have any connection with the Almighty. And he lost his mind. So God said to Samuel, I know Saul doesn't know this yet. This is the Charles Ferguson translation. I know that Saul doesn't know this yet, but I fired him. So I need you to go out as my HR person and find the next king. And I'm going to tell you where you need to go. Go to Jesse's house because he's there.
Yes, sir.
Just go there, take an offering, say, hey, I'm looking for one of your sons. God is calling him out. Samuel's like, well, he started crying over Saul at first, but he's like, stop crying. No, I'm done with him. Can I tell you something real quick? Just to insert this. Ain't nothing worse in the world than being fired by God. Because you don't even know it's happening until other things start revealing themselves. You think everything cool. But then folk don't want to be bothered with you. Nobody listening to you. Everything you got to say doesn't even fall on even the most rank of ears. You just... everything happening, you're like, what's going on? Saul was fired, but still sitting on the throne, which meant that his oil had dried up and he was no longer set apart. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house and he says, okay, I'm here. Bring your sons out. God's going to show me who it is. And what does Jesse do? He brings out his good-looking sons, his warrior-looking sons, his soldier sons, you see. Because, you know, most of his sons were soldiers. You know that whole story about David and Goliath down the line? And when David went down to take food because that's what he was supposed to do. So his brothers were soldiers. They looked the part. They sounded the part. But God kept on looking, and he kept on telling Samuel, pass. Pass, pass. And Samuel's like, it gotta be one of these guys. And he said, I ain't looking at what you think it is. I'm not gonna deal with no more surface nonsense. I'm looking at the heart. No matter what you may think, God is the most unsuperficial person in the world. He don't care if you look the role. He wants to know what you got. So he looked through all these brothers, and then he got confused. Samuel got confused because he's looking. He's like, God told me he was here. I done seen all these sons, and God hasn't said nothing. And he looks up and he's like, no, he's here. He asks Jesse, do you got another boy?
All right.
And look how Jesse responds. It's a sign of a bad daddy. Yeah, I got another son, but he handling the sheep. He don't need to be in here. He handling the sheep. It got to be one of these boys, because you don't want the shepherd boy. You couldn't possibly want the one that's out there sleeping with the sheep and smelling like the sheep and all this stuff. You couldn't possibly want him. I'm going somewhere. You couldn't possibly want the guy that's out in the field smelling like the field.
Amen.
You couldn't possibly want that person. And he's my son. I know. And Samuel says, we ain't going to do nothing else.
That's right.
Yeah.
Until you bring your son here.
Yeah.
Brings him. God's like, that's the one. So Samuel breaks out the oil, and he didn't give him a touch. See, this is the thing that you need to understand when it comes to the anointing and even the process of it, even from a natural standpoint. When you are truly anointed, you don't get a touch. The oil gets poured until it covers you. Even when you were becoming a priest, it had to what? Cover you until it gathered in the hem of your clothing. That's why when the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus, I'm going ahead and coming back, when she touched, she said, if I can just touch the hem. Because Jesus was the anointed one, and the anointing was all over him. And guess what? She said, I don't need to touch his feet, I don't need to touch his hands, let me just get to the hem. Because just like any good priest, the oil was in the hem. So David was anointed, covered for the next season that had not even come to pass yet. We're in a moment in time where some of us need fresh oil. Because everything that once was does not apply for what shall be.
Amen.
Strategies can't be the same. Creativity cannot all of a sudden be the same old cookie cutter process. You are dealing with a different time and season unlike anything you ever grew up in.
Amen.
2018 going into 2019 is totally different.
Right.
Technology's different.
Yes.
The attention span is different. Yes. Things that catch people's eye is different. More people are not concerned about what you think you are. They are concerned about what's going on in you.
Amen.
So our approach can't be the same.
That's right.
And the reason it can't be the same is because God has gifted us and given us a mission that is not the same as it used to be.
Okay.
So.
Amen.
For the season that's about to be ushered in. What does the anointing of God unveil? What does it unveil? The first thing that it unveils is that the approach of the past is not enough. Okay? I look out every time I come here and every time I come into the sanctuary, I walk through and I walk around and I always end up going out this door over here. I barely go out this one. I go out this one. And when I go out this one, it's because I want to go out this one to see a reminder. The reminder is on that back wall. Do you know what that reminder is? Okay. When you walk out of here, there's a reminder on the back wall. And it's called the capacity. Y'all missed it. Every time I come in here, I walk around, I sit in the pews. And sometimes I just need to be myself. And I'm probably going to do it more and more. You're probably not even going to know that I'm here or there or whatever. If you do know that I'm here or there, it's because you're just trying to follow me and you're snooping. But I come in here, I sit down, I sit down, I try to be in the presence of God. I sit around, I think, and I try to have God talk to me. And then when I get up, I walk around, and I go out that door because I go to see a reminder as I go out the door. The reminder on the back wall going out, this door is called capacity. That means that I always look at the capacity that this sanctuary holds, which if I'm looking at that marker, I believe it says 290.
Okay.
Now people would say, what are you trying to say? You trying to get 1,000 folk? No, 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 no. You need to hear me say thousands.
No.
I come into the sanctuary, I sit down, I pray, and I talk to the Lord, and then I get up and I walk around and I go out that door because there's a reminder on that back wall. And the reminder on the back wall is 290. Every time I get up here and preach, I see 290 folk. Don't clap yet, because the reason I see 290 folk when I'm up here is because when I come in here, I come in here and I sit down, whether it's on Sunday morning or any other time, and I get connected with God and I say, Lord, what do you want done? What do you want us to do? And then after that, I get up and I walk out of here and I go out the same way all the time to see that reminder that says 290. And I always come up here and I see 290 people in the pews. And the reason I see 290 people in the pews is because I believe that God has given us the capacity to have 290 people show up in this place and experience the presence of God in a unique and powerful way, to go out of here 290 strong into the community, to transform the community in which this place has been planted. So I come into this place every single time I get a chance, and I sit down to be in the presence of God, and I say, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do as a pastor? What do you want me to do as a believer? And then after I get an answer, I get up from this place, I go on out the door, and I see that reminder that says 290. And when I go out of here and then come back on a Sunday morning, I stand up in this place and I look out here and I see 290 people. And the reason I see 290 people is because we have the capacity to hold 290 people, to be in a space, to be transformed by God, to be able to go out and make change within the society. Okay, I'm going to keep on it because repetition is good for people. In other words, let me shorten this. I believe that God has given us the capacity to reach more folk and to do more stuff and to make more impact than we have yet to do. But it requires us saying, God, we need something what? Different.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We need something fresh.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We need something to what? Identify us. When we go out of here, we can't go out of here with the mentality saying that we're going to talk to folk and talk down to people because they ain't showing up to church. We got to go out of here saying there's a reason that on Sunday morning I get up. And with all that goes on in my life, I show up to Wesley Church of Hope. And I sit in the pew, and I sit in the pew because I come to get a revelation from God. And when I get that revelation from God, I get up from this place and I'm different. And when I go out of here, I go out knowing that we have the capacity to do more. And as an individual, I know I have the capacity to do more and reach more people, even if it's one person at a time, so that when I come back, that person comes back as well. And we're both in the same space and getting a revelation from God and looking unto God, saying, what can we do, not only in this space, but in the community where we've been planted?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
It's got to be more than leading up to a shout.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Don't mind, and don't right. misunderstand. I love shouting because God is that good. He's worthy of my praise. But he's also worthy of my work. I need God to set me apart to function in my complete gift. Watch this. Think about this. All these military men didn't get chosen, but the shepherd did. The shepherd got chosen because he proved that when it was time to defend the sheep, he could. What did he do? Y'all know the word. David, he said, look, I fought what? A lion? I fought bears to protect my father's sheep. So I have the capacity to fight when necessary. I'm so doggish, I don't worry about what I don't have. I use what I got. I got a slingshot. And I got accuracy. So I'm going to throw that rock and knock out who I need to knock out. So if you think a giant is something that for me to be afraid of, me and God already fought off some real beasts.
That's right.
functioning in your lane, functioning in your ability, your capacity, allows you to be most effective. God ain't looking to see who looks the part. He's looking to see who's got it. And he can what? And God can what? Anoint that and what? Set it apart and make it useful.
Amen.
Second thing, character. I've already touched on it. Character must rise above the surface. Folk don't know you know Jesus until they see your character. Folk don't know that you know the Lord until they see something within you. Okay. When I leave here today, if you see me in the street and you know what I look like, I would hope that you would say something. I'll tell you up front, I don't always hear everybody because my hearing has some issues from time to time. Truthful stuff. So if I don't hear you, my hope is that you roll up on me and say, hey, how you doing? Love you, Pastor. I'm glad to see you. That lets me know you actually are concerned about my well-being beyond the pulpit.
Okay.
But there are too many people that always prove that they got some kind of agenda.
Yes, sir.
They'll butter you up.
Yes, sir.
And they're only buttering you up to put you on the griddle. You feel me?
Old school toast, right?
Yeah, some of y'all call. Thank you. Your character has to rise to the surface. Do you care about me beyond today? Do you care about my existence and my personality and all that kind of stuff beyond this moment? Do you care about what concerns me? That's the challenge. Some people want to be seen in positions and seen in roles. But what would happen if you didn't have a title? What would happen if you never ever had anything that was attached to the other side of your name? I am not the composition of my 4 degrees. I was Charles when I was born.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I will die with, regardless of all that stuff. You know, my obituary may say a whole bunch of stuff, but when I die, I will go out of this world still being Charles. Because guess what? The degrees will fade, the paper will yellow, and it won't be preserved after a while. There comes a moment when people need to know your character. And according to God, the character he needed to lead the people was not a warrior first, but a shepherd. Look at the nature of God. God shepherded the people through hard times. God was trying to maintain the shepherding peace until the people wanted to be like other nations. So how does God get people back in focus after making a choice of a king that forgot that God set them apart first?
Yes.
Get somebody that had what? God's heart. And God's heart was that the sheep would be preserved. So anoint the least likely that's got my heart, because they're going to fulfill what I need done. Be careful in this season, because you may find out that folk that you discounted in the past might be the ones that God brings to the forefront to advance the future. Which leads to the last point. Elevation will have witnesses. We ain't gonna do nothing until your son shows up. We're not gonna eat. We're not gonna talk. We're not gonna have a conversation about another thing until you bring your son here. I can only imagine. It's not in the text, but just think about what the conversation must have been like that wasn't recorded. How you gonna come into my house and tell me what we is and ain't gonna do? Well, I'm the prophet. We ain't doing nothing until you bring your son, who you left out there, in here? God already told me the king is here. But you trying to leave somebody out. Bring him here. And when he comes, we're going to see what happens. And when he comes, Samuel knew it. God stated it to be such. So then he broke out a horn of oil. And in the presence of his brothers, the presence of his father, He didn't hit him with a. He poured the oil over his head. He poured it until it was empty. In the presence of his brothers. Some people are in this room right now that have never aspired to be in the spotlight. They have never had aspirations of being in front. They just wanted to serve God. That's all they wanted to do. That's it. That's all. They're just like, I'm content with serving the Lord this way and doing what I need to do. Well, let me go ahead and disrupt you now. God sees you. And not only does God see you, but there's going to come a moment in this season when God is going to promote you in front of other folk. And God's going to do it in a way that is going to mess you up and them up at the same time. Because what it's going to reveal is God's intent on how the future will go. See, the future can't look like the past, so it requires what? It requires fresh oil and what? Fresh perspective and fresh energy and fresh fire. It requires something more. And God is going to put towards the forefront those that God has anointed to do certain things in the season that will run the engine to the next level. God did not want Israel to function the way that it was currently functioning. Mm-hmm. So God chose somebody that was diametrically opposed to what was already on the throne. Because God looked at the heart. So, like I said, I wasn't going to sweat today. Because this is one of these walking messages with something extra. Do not discount yourself because of what you think, other people think about you. Do not discount yourself because of where you currently function, because God sees you. Do not think that there's no oil for you because you're not like everybody else in church. God sees you. Don't stop working for the Lord the way you have just because it doesn't seem like anything's going forward. God sees you. And God is ready to give you what you need to move forward. Here we are with an opportunity to see what God is going to do with us. Here we are with an opportunity to see how God is going to change and transform this space and this place. Here we are with an opportunity to witness God move in a way that we only imagined but wasn't always sure it could happen. We're already here. So it's time to receive the oil. It's time to receive the oil. You and I need it. Because this season is going to be a transformative one. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. I'm done. Is there anybody here today?